Good evening. Welcome. Such a pleasure to sit with you. I hope we all practice this week being perfectly imperfect and just being very happy about that. So, as we said last week, we are talking about what some call for the teachings, hindrances or energies that we all have that will come up always in our practice, regardless of how long we have practiced. But they are energies that we deal with on a daily basis. But for the teaching purpose, it's good to know when, and they're usually taught under the umbrella of the Buddhist teachings, because when we're meditating and we're quiet and still, we get a real good look at them. Very closely, whether we want to or not. They can be fairly intense. And so there are called desire. That's an energy that we're all familiar with. Desire, we want. Nothing's wrong with it. But it is an energy that we deal with constantly. Our aversion, pushing away parts of life, things in our life that we really didn't plan on having. So our relationship to these two are so very, very important, because it will determine if we can relate to them in a way where we don't think something's wrong with them, the energies, or something's wrong with us. And the third one is sloth and torpor. We've talked a little bit about that. Fourth one is restlessness. And the last is doubt. Doubt, not healthy doubt. We're talking about doubt that we have under the umbrella of our meditation practice. So they're major forces in our minds, and they hinder our ability to see clearly, or they break our concentration. And again, nothing's wrong with them. The primary instruction in working with the hindrances is to turn them into our meditation object. Really getting to know them. And it really doesn't matter whether these energies are there or not, but what really matters is that we are aware of them if they show up. And we know that they will show up. And so we can rely, and I'm just going to talk about the first two tonight and some of the things or the ways that we can use to work with these energies. And one was what I just said, we can turn them into the meditation object. It doesn't matter, as I said, if they're present or not, but if they're there, we want to know them. And so, of course, the first thing we remind ourselves of is the process that the acronym RAIN gives us, where we can recognize them. That's powerful. We don't even realize how powerful that is until we start using this acronym recognizing, allowing, investigating. And of course, we're investigating by taking it to our bodies, the whole body. And we're learning how important the whole body awareness is in order to see clearly what is happening truthfully in any given moment. But when we're investigating any of these energies, and we're taking them to the body, it's okay to ask, inquire, how does it feel in the body? Is it pleasant or unpleasant? Get to know it. Does it change? What beliefs or stories do we tell ourselves? And do we have a tendency to act or cling? What about that? What about how we relate? But mostly, if they're not very strong, just recognizing a hindrance or that kind of energy is enough for it to fall away. Now, that's quite a statement. Because truly, this process is simple and easy. But we, in working with it, our openness to this process is important. I didn't talk about the N in RAIN, which is just non-identification. This is just to passing, these energies are just passing processes that come and go, and they're not who we are. We don't have to identify with them. It's just the part, it's just all the lists of phenomena that we, as human beings, it's important that we get to know them and not to, or to realize that they're not who we are. We don't have to identify with them. So, but sometimes they get intense. And it's helpful to use, you can call them remedies or counterbalance the hindrance. And so tonight I'm going to talk about the first two, desire or greed, and the second one is what?
Aversion.
Thank you. So those two we're going to talk about, zero in on, and then next week we'll get the other three. So desire, wanting, is strong and becomes a hindrance when we want something, grasping it or clinging to it. We just can't let it go. And it could be either harmful to us, or it could be inappropriate or just not useful at the time. And so, example, wanting to eat is a healthy desire, but probably not useful when we're meditating, thinking about eating. Whereas a desire for a cigarette may be a desire for something harmful. So if it's something that's harmful, it's okay for us to remind ourselves the consequences of things that are not in our best interest. Or maybe we're craving potato chips. We all can relate to that one. And it gives us high blood pressure. So, you know, we don't need high blood pressure. None of us do. And all of us have it. So if we desire something that might be appropriate, but we're clinging to, we have a strong desire, then We can focus again on this wisdom of impermanence because we have experienced it enough time where we rely on it. And we begin to trust that it's not going to hang around forever. So, and even if we cling to it, how long will the satisfaction last, even if we fulfill the desire? So, can you see how we're training ourselves? Because the desire will fade. It may come back, but it's not permanent. And it will. All of that, all these energies will rise and fall away. But instead of getting caught in them, we're getting to know them on a level or in a relationship where they don't take us away, preoccupied, take us from the present moment. So we use rain, recognizing what's going on, allowing it, taking it to the body, investigating it, inquiring about it, being really interested in it, and then realizing that the end in the rain is we don't have to identify with it, non-identification. It's not us. It's all the phenomena that life gives us as human beings. So can you see the big, huge difference in relating to any of these energies? And truly, that determines if we continue or cause more suffering or if we just know how to relate to it. So the second one is aversion, pushing away, pushing away. Universe, you didn't do it right. If I were in charge, this is how I'd do it. Thank goodness I'm not in charge. And so aversion is wanting things to be different, not the way they are, pushing them away. And that's powerful too, because aversion feels in the body like wanting does when we begin to be with it, relate to it in the body, because the body has a response or reaction always. So ill will that we're putting with aversion is an escalation of that wishing harm to someone or something that's in our way of getting what we think we want. And it can range from a very subtle pushing something away to this intense hatred and anger or ill will. And we're seeing that. And it's not very pretty. So really, no matter how weak or strong aversion is, again, recognizing it, mindful attention. And many times, and this is to remember in lots of situations, just noticing them is enough. Most of the time. But they can be so deeply ingrained in us. It's like the air that we breathe. And so we might need another boost, something else that can help us. And the teaching says more concentration, more focus. And one of the ways we do that, well, we can just set up that attention, sit up straighter and saying, okay, I'm going to intend to be more concentrated. But there's other ways too. We can count our breaths. Something that will focus us into what actually is happening. Or if that doesn't work, then go to sounds. It's a beautiful way to become or invite ourselves into spaciousness. Sounds, experiencing the body globally with the whole body. So, going back to changing our focus, aversion is often due to one-sided attention. And that one-sided attention brings on our irritation, unpleasant or repulsive feature of something receives undue attention. We give it a lot of time. And if someone seems very annoying and we dislike them, then we learn this in Sunday school. We pay attention to the positive qualities because we know that we are perfectly imperfect, all of us. And understanding that deep, deep wisdom opens our hearts to all of us. And this paying attention to what is positive about ourselves is so, so healing. Because we know once we begin to look within how critical we are of the universe, but how critical we are of ourselves. In a difficult situation, we could say, and this comes with practice, what can I learn from this situation? What happens in our meditation practice is we begin to see these energies less as something about us and more about an opportunity to practice. To practice what? Well, to rain on it. To begin to get to know its true nature. All these phenomena have lives of their own. Now that's hard to grok if this is the first time you've heard it. They all have lives of their own. They arise and they fall away. And those are our thoughts. Those are our emotions. They are these energies that keep knocking at our doors. And so, it's a perfect inquiry. What can I learn from this? And then, of course, loving kindness. Oh my goodness. And this is something that took me a while to really understand the value of it because I had to apply it. I had to know, you know, what it was and to practice it. But loving kindness is something that we do at the end every week of this meditation. It is wishing ourselves and others goodwill. Why not? If, you know, someone like the Buddha says it's helpful, or someone as wise, then why not try it and see for ourselves? So, of course, anger is a significant issue in our lives. The regular practice of this loving kindness can be very helpful. We soften to ourselves and we soften to others. But let's go to pain. Pain, important thing to notice with pain, because we're conditioned to push it away, go away, stuff it, I don't want you there. This is where we practice seeing the difference between the sensation of the pain and our aversion to it. And that is a golden rule. That is a golden rule once we start practicing that for ourselves. Because we add a lot to our pain that causes that second arrow, just the suffering, 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 suffering. So, and we already beginning to see our emotional reaction to it. And, you know, those are strong. They're embedded in us. And so, again, we can refocus and reflect on our own good deeds. There's as many nice things that have come our way as all those other things we don't want to share with each other. Because there's 10,000 joys and there's 10,000 sorrows, and they are all okay. But what confuses us is we don't know what to do with the sorrows and really get caught up in the joys. So if you're going to talk to yourself, and we already know we talk to ourselves and we don't say very nice things to ourselves, we know that, then at least balance it with something positive or something different, or provide some kindness to yourself. And again, this is the practice. In order to understand the depth of wisdom in all of these teachings comes from having to practice it. That's why you can hear these teachings over and over and over, and they stay on a cognitive level that doesn't understand it. And so fear is having an aversion or something that hasn't even happened yet. So again, we're creating our reality. Something imagined, even if likely will never be like that, only that we imagine it. Being in the body is very important for working with fear. And if you have the luxury of time, and we do because we're meditators, for dealing with the fear, as you might in your formal meditation or retreat, again, we can change our focus because we're recognizing it for what it is, not creating a virtual reality around it. So we change our focus. So if we're caught in fear, we're taught, if we're in the meditation posture, that we can go to safe areas, our hands or our feet, or safe areas within our bodies. And so if there's that intensity of fear of where we just caught in it, which we all have been and will be, then again, we can focus on some safe places in our bodies and then see if it works. See if it works. Or if there's a great deal of fear, focus to what's right in front of us. Get there to what right in front of us. And so, that's a biggie, that fear. And it's in all of us, and nothing's wrong with it, but we're learning how to live with it and how to relate to it. Okay, you've got homework. You ready? Okay, for this next week, in your daily sitting, in your practice, be particularly aware each time that aversion or clinging arises. And don't set yourself up for failure. Just if you noticed it one time, that's enough. Watch carefully for it. Notice how it begins, what precedes it. Maybe if there's a thought that comes with it or an image that triggers the state. Notice how long it ends, how long it lasts or when it ends. So again, all these things that we are learning about ourselves as human beings are teachings. It's just teaching us how to live without so much suffering and much, much, much more acceptance and happiness. So do your homework. I will be checking it. And we will be talking about it next week because we will go into the last three of these intense energies, sloth and torpor, a funny one, restlessness, and doubt. So with that, I'll stop. We'll call Randy in and we'll open it to you. Thank you.